for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
G'day and welcome to the Aussie Pastor Live, right here on Faith FM.
G'day, g'day, g'day. My name is Lloyd Grolleman. I'm the Aussie Pastor coming to you live. Hey, Auntie.
G'day, mate.
We're not coming to you live from where we normally do, Richmond, northwest Sydney. We are way up in Queensland.
In a tent.
We are in a tent.
We're in a tent.
You're going to hear a lot more about that, but we're coming to you live. You're going to hear a little bit of noise today, Hunter.
That's right. So please excuse all the background noise. There's lots of people here.
There are lots of people. In fact, over 1,000. We'll find out more about that in just a minute.
Sure.
I drove, Hunty. You know how far I drove to get here?
How far?
11 hours.
That's
I had
bad.
To leave my farm.
Yep.
I had to go to Sydney to pick some shirts up for you.
Yes.
And some, what do you call them, hoodies?
Hoodies, yep.
And they weren't quite right for me, were they? But we'll fix that up.
Wasn't that a printing redo?
And then I drove all the way up here yesterday. So we'll do this radio program. Then I'll go home and I'll have dinner tonight with my brother and my mum. Actually, my two brothers and my mum. One of my little brother, who's my big brother, he's coming up, hunting. He's cooking a special meal for tonight.
Wow.
And it's going to be gluten steaks and mushroom gravy.
Where's my invitation?
Yeah, you'll be here working, buddy.
I know, right?
Opening night for what you're about to do here. Mashed potato, going to be a fabulous meal. Cannot wait. But look, wherever you are in Australia, whether you're in beautiful Queensland, which is not sunny Queensland today, a bit overcast here in Brisbane, but whether you're in Queensland, anywhere else in Australia, we want to give you a great big warm welcome, and I hope and pray that God bless you. We've got some special guests, Hunty.
Yeah, we absolutely do. It's a jam-packed show of guests today.
Yeah, we actually got, God willing, the leader of the worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Correct.
And then we have the leader of the South Pacific Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Yes.
And then we have a couple of other guests, friends of mine. I think we're going to – this is a bit of a different program, actually.
It is.
And I reckon you're going to find it interesting. Hunty, would you start for prayer?
Certainly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again – I ask you especially to bless all of our listeners, Lord. Please wrap your loving arms around them. Send your mercy. Send them peace. Send them all of the beautiful things that they need to survive, Lord. In your precious name I ask, in Jesus. Amen.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Well, Hunty.
Well,
it is a big start.
It is.
We are in the tent, and I'm trying to work out what's coming next.
I reckon it's a song.
My computer, it is a song. Your grace still amazes me.
Yeah.
This is in Fountain View College. How many times have I said this, Hunty? One of my favourite colleges up in Canada, and it's a musical Adventist college, and they put out some of the best music from young people you'll ever hear. I chose a couple of songs from these guys today. Hope you enjoy it.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery. Each day Savior, you make me
That is an absolutely beautiful song.
Sure is.
And I think the thing that makes that song beautiful is not just the music and those who sang it so wonderfully. It is the words, "Your grace still amazes me." And I, the older I get, Hunty, the more I'm thinking about my life. I reflect back on it, how I've struggled through it at times and how desperately I need the grace of Jesus Christ. This day in history, Hunty.
What you got?
28th of April 2026. What happened in history? Well, in 1789, on this day, 28th of April, Fletcher Christian. You ever heard of him?
I have.
What did he do? Mutiny on the Bounty.
Mountain in Pitcairn, yes.
Took on Captain Bligh. And they took over the ship. Bligh actually ended up in a miracle. They put a few. They put him and a few of his mates in a boat, and they had to row and sail thousands of kilometres to safety. But Fletcher Christian took over the Bounty. Very famous story, especially out here in the South Pacific. Hey, Hunty, we have a mate called Lance.
Yeah, we do.
He's a direct descendant of those dudes.
Yep.
Comes from Norfolk Island.
Yep.
Anyway, that's what happened in 1789. 1945, Benito Mussolini, he was the leader of the Italians. He was a staunch ally of Adolf Hitler. He was executed. 1967, Muhammad Ali, on this day, 28th of April, in 1967, refused to join the U.S. Army. He was inducted, and he wouldn't join.
How did that work out for him?
Not real well.
Did they put him in jail?
I think so.
Huh.
Yeah. But it worked out okay because he became quite famous, conscientious objector. He never joined. 1996, you know what happened on this day, Hunty?
I know you do. Oh, yes, I do. Yes. Tasmania?
Port Arthur Massacre. Yeah. I can still remember it just. It was a long, long time ago. I was actually living in New Zealand at the time. But this young fellow, won't mention his name, but he marched there. He murdered 35 people down there at Port Arthur. You been to Port Arthur?
Yeah, many times.
Beautiful place?
Beautiful place.
Probably a place we should go and film sometime.
Yeah, we should.
Because it's got great... Actually, it's a place of violence because it was a jail, an ancient jail of Aussie convicts.
It was a rough, tough jail.
It was a rough place. And really, this was the lid on a very violent past where in 1996 on this day, a young man walked onto that site and murdered 35 people and wounded 23. And there's a lot of broken hearts to this day about that. And if you're listening and you've been affected, well... God bless you, and our empathy and our sympathy is with you. And the last one, 2001, something very famous happened. American businessman Dennis Tito, you know what he's famous for, Hunty?
Nope.
Became the first paying space tourist, launched aboard a Russian Soyuz spacecraft toward the International Space Station. Would you go on one of those spacecrafts?
I wouldn't want to rush. No, not at my age.
Man.
No, I've no desire, brother.
What's the problem with them? I know what my problem is. What's your problem with them?
Oh, well, you come back physically fairly exhausted and fairly wrecked.
Oh, yeah, but we're strong. We're you and me, we're big, strong, fit blokes. Yep. It's claustrophobia. Even that American thing that just went around the moon, you know, they shot it up.
It wasn't big, was it?
No way. Yeah. I was watching it. I don't know whether it was live stream or not, but I was watching those guys, and I thought, man, there's no room. And they were there they were in that for days too.
Uh-huh.
And you know, even the space station up there.
Yep.
I've done a little bit of YouTubing into that.
Yep.
There's not a lot of room up there, buddy.
No.
Some people are up there for months, and I think some guys have been over there a year up there in the space station.
Yeah, wow.
It'd be tough going, I
reckon.
Indeed, yep. Yeah, so that's this day, and I suppose where we've made it famous is we're in Brisbane. For the start of something very special, and we're going to talk to you more about that in just a minute. Hunty,
yes.
Time for the news. There's a lot of news around.
Yep.
And we could be talking about a lot of things today.
Mm-hmm.
We could be talking about the fact that President Trump has on the table right now another peace offering from the Iranians. Did you know that?
I did not.
I wonder what the use of this is, though, because they're offering everything except what Trump wants. And you know what Trump wants? He wants their yellow cake. He wants their uranium.
Doesn't he want to not make nuclear weapons?
Yeah, that's why he wants the uranium. The uranium makes the nuclear weapons.
Yep, the enriched uranium. Yep.
But we won't talk about that.
No.
We'll talk about something positive, the Ukrainian war. But there is something really positive about this. You know they're using robots over there, don't you? Are you aware of that? Are you onto that?
Yeah, I am.
And I'm not talking about just robots to take people in and out of the battlefront or to transport this. There's actually military
robot drones and robot soldiers.
And military robots there.
Yes.
That are holding the front line. They've actually taken some ground from the Russians.
Wow.
Quite amazing. But did you read this story about that robot just the other day? There's an old lady and she got stuck in her house on the front line.
Did you read this? I did hear about this. Amazing story.
So they're up. I think they've got drones, haven't they? And they're watching the battlefield.
And they spotted her coming out of her house in the middle of what could only be described as the place where you're going to get shot for certain.
Well, actually, her house was decimated by Russian fire.
Artillery fire, yeah.
Yeah, artillery fire.
So she's out there walking around.
And she couldn't find a way.
No.
And she's a Ukrainian lady, and the Ukrainian army is watching this. I guess the Russians.
On the drones.
The Russians would have been watching it too. And I guess neither wanted to, you know, to hurt her. No. So she was in the middle of this great raging battle. So you know what they did?
I do. They put a blanket and a sign on one of their big reconnaissance robots.
It was a note, wasn't it? It was a note on the seat.
Yeah, it said jump on. And there's a blanket on it. And
so this robot goes out.
They drove it right up to this lady.
Would you call it a robot car?
Well, it's a reconnaissance vehicle for surveillance and all sorts of stuff, but it had enough space on it for her to sit down and to be rescued, and it was quite a distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a couple of hours' ride?
That's what blew me away. They picked her up, and then it took them a couple of hours to get her back to safety.
Yep.
So she must have been right in the middle of it.
Yeah, for sure.
There you got an example of robots doing good deeds in battle.
Absolutely.
Do you think we need to worry about robots in war?
We do. Of course we do.
Well, robots.
Because they're making robots now that you can't deprogram. So when the manufacturer says you're a soldier, you'll go here and you'll fight, there's no off switch.
So what if you want them?
There's no off switch. There's no reprogramming.
Oh, I think they're going to have to fix that.
Well, most of the Western robots can be disabled, but there are some unscrupulous people who are building ones that cannot be terminated.
Yeah, that's a bit scary.
It is scary because then you have to take them out with a bigger gun.
I'm more worried about the robots in battle.
Yeah.
Are we going to get to the point where robots are fighting our wars?
Yes, I believe so.
Are we wasting money as Australians on this AUKUS thing? Manned submarines? By the time that we get them, they'll have unmanned submarines in the ocean. Would that be fair to say?
I think...
Because everything seems to be going robotic.
Yeah. Australia's now in range now. China can send us missiles. Others can send us missiles to blow our cities up. But they can't send troops to take over our cities unless they put them on boats.
Yeah, but...
And that's what the submarines will stop. There will be no boats coming into Australia that we won't be able to
My point is, by the time those submarines get here, there'll be robotic submarines. There'll be no need for them. That's my point. So I'm not talking about whether
good
we should...
point.
Yeah. I think so. What about this one? I don't know why it stirred me up a little bit, but the Gold Coast City Council is now putting cameras on their waterways.
I fully support that.
Tell me more.
So in this economic collapse or whatever that's costing people a lot of grief because no one can afford fuel and food, people can't afford to upkeep their boats or pay for the moorings, and they're just unleashing them off their moorings and pushing them out to sea, and they're floating back into places like Moreton Bay and various Queensland beaches.
Okay.
And they're just wrecks sitting on the beach. And it's costing the council a lot of money to go get them and move them.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that's the only reason they're putting them there?
No, of course not. The government's never got one on this reason.
There is a rule on the Gold Coast that when you're in their waterways, you can camp for a certain amount of time.
Seven days.
2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks.
Is it 7 days?
I thought it was 7 days.
Well, I wouldn't argue that.
One site per seven days.
And you've got to move.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of people who live on boats in the Gold Coast waterway. Guess what?
Those cameras are going to pick them up. Course.
And they're going to be copping fines.
Yeah.
And you know that Australia, and I know this for a fact, is the only country in the world where it's actually illegal to live on your boat.
I didn't know it was illegal.
It's illegal to live on your boat. And I think if you're in one of those docks. Yeah, no, it's not.
Ah, okay.
And you're paying.
Yep.
But if you so if I was to go down to Hawkesbury where I live,
yep.
And to, you know, because you and I often talk about what it'd be like to live on a houseboat, because it'd be cheap. You use the water from the river. You got the electricity coming down on your solar panels. This would work out really well. But it's illegal. I cannot park a boat in the Hawkesbury and live on it.
Fair go.
Yeah, and so I reckon it's going to start to catch all these people who are living on their boat. And I've actually got friends who live on their catamaran out there on the Gold Coast Broadwater, and I'm thinking they're going to be in trouble. Anyway, that's the news for today. Let's have a look at God and creation.
Yes.
Hey, now, you've had a leisurely week. Have we got any music?
I've got a health sting for you coming up after this.
That's a new one, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't have a creation sting for you yet.
It's coming.
Well, I didn't think I needed to make one, but...
Well, it's a very...
But the sad, disappointed look on your face. I think I better rush to making one.
God and creation. Let's look at the Komodo dragon. Now, here's one for you, Hunter.
Yep.
You who have travelled from one end of the world to the other, have you ever seen a Komodo dragon?
I have indeed. Yes.
You've seen one live? Not in the zoo.
I've seen one. Oh, no, not in real life, no.
You've never seen one outside the zoo?
Actually, I might have, yes.
I've seen one at the zoo, but I've never seen one. I've never been to Komodo Island. Let me tell you a little bit about the Komodo dragon. Yeah. It's the largest living lizard in the world, which surprised me. Because I thought, what are those ones we have in Australia out?
Yeah, there are some big lizards.
I'm thinking gecko, but it's not the gecko. Yeah. We've got those great big lizards.
We do.
But apparently this one's bigger. They can grow up to 3 meters long and weigh over 70 kilos. They're big, big things. They're behemoths. They're found only on a few Indonesian islands. I thought it was only one island, but there's a couple, Komodo and Rinca. Komodo dragons have a venomous bite that helps to weaken and kill their prey. Did you know that, buddy?
Yes. Very, very bad.
They are powerful hunters and can take down animals much larger than themselves. I'm going to go back to that venomous bite for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
They used to think that their mouths were so dirty that when they'd bite you, they'd just give you an infection and you'd die.
I thought that was it.
No. Yeah. They have a venom in their mouth that they can inject into you, and it kind of causes you to lose your way. Man, if I ever go, and I will go, God willing, to one of these islands, because my wife comes from over there, and check one of these Komodo dragons out, I'm going to be very careful walking around amongst them. They run pretty pretty fast too. They use their forked tongue to smell food from several kilometres away.
Wow.
Imagine smelling food with your tongue. Man, God is incredible what he does with some of these animals. They are carnivores and sometimes eat other Komodo dragons. So they're not just carnivores, they're cannibals.
Yeah.
This I found amazing. They can reproduce without a male through a process called parthenogenesis. They don't need a male to reproduce.
Huh. Dead.
And
no
I'm
idea.
Guessing they're coming through eggs. I'm not absolutely sure about that. You better not. But if they're a lizard, yes. In the wild, they usually live 30 to 40 years. They can live much longer when they're in captivity. And they are not, and this is going to disappoint you, Hunty, they are not legal to keep as pets because they're dangerous.
Fair enough.
You can't.
Fair enough.
They're not real intelligent, apparently. They just work on instinct, and their instinct is to eat you. Okay, mate, let's hear this new health sting.
Okay, here we go.
Not too bad.
Thank you.
I didn't mind that.
I'll take it.
5 reasons you should exercise every day. Number 1, it keeps your heart healthy. You knew that.
Absolutely.
Makes your heart stronger and helps your blood to move better around your body.
Yep.
You exercise most days when you're not stuck in conferences and doing things like this. You're in the pool. Yeah.
Yes, in the pool. I like to be in the pool, yep.
Number 2, makes you feel happier.
Yes.
When you exercise, you move your body, it releases feel-good chemicals and can help reduce stress and lift your mood.
That's right.
Number 3, it helps control your weight. That's got to mean something to you, buddy.
Yeah, well, and you too, mate.
Well,
I know how much weight you've lost, 20 plus kilos recently.
And I've lost 22.
Yeah.
But I reckon Hunty's lost 30.
Almost.
We bought some new shirts for him, some Aussie Pastor shirts. He put them on today and they're floating like a tent. exercise gives you more energy, keeps your body strong. You know that, Hunty.
Absolutely.
Hey, Tess, Hunty. Let's just a couple of tests here, mate.
Dear.
You ready?
Oh, dear.
What EV has the longest range in Australia?
Tesla.
Is it the Tesla, the Volvo, or the BMW?
Tesla.
Now, be careful.
I'm going Tesla.
Nope. Tesla's 750, Volvo's 810, BMW's 805.
That's one way. None from one?
Yep. Are EV trucks used anywhere in the world?
Yes, America. The Tesla trucks.
You know what they use them for?
Long haul.
They do. Do you know how far they go before they've got to be pumped up again?
Yes, 8 hours.
800 kilometres. So you're about pretty much right.
Yep.
Is it true if those electric trucks, when they go up a hill, they go up as fast as they go down?
They can go up as fast as they go down.
So they don't slow down.
So powerful.
So if you're not, if you go past an electric truck in Australia, 40 tonne, that's going up a hill, it's not going to slow down.
The electric ones that Tesla's making do not drop below the speed limit.
And going down, they don't use brakes? It's
regenerative power.
So the electric engine slows them down?
100%.
Do they have brakes?
Yes, but they don't have to use them.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. So what are you doing? You've gone one out of one.
Yeah, one out of two.
One out of two. I did that last week, didn't I? I didn't do well at mathematics at school. What is cheaper, hydrogen or electric cars? Careful, Hunty.
From digging up the dirt to manufacture to the whole deal all the way through?
No, just to run.
Oh, hydrogen.
Electric.
Oh, of course. It's a one from three. Are we done now, mate?
hydrogen would be... cheaper if it was made up to scale as electricity, but it's not.
Oh.
So right now, electricity is half the price or less of hydrogen.
Well.
You still want to get an electric car?
I do.
You're still into it?
I am.
Okay. We've got a very special guest who's just turned up here. We're glad to see him, and we're going to give him a welcome in a minute. But before that, Hunty, are we going to have a little...
I reckon it's time for a sting, then some music.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
No More Night?
No More Night, yes.
Fountain View College.
Love it.
Theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell.
So there's no there will be no more now.
You know, I've said it a few times. I lost my cousin and my dad in just the last year or two. And when I listen to that song, I get teary.
Yeah.
Because we will see Jesus come soon.
Amen.
And I can't wait to see my dad and mum.
Amen.
Well, not my mum. She's not gone yet. My dad and case. We've got a very special guest today.
Yeah, we do.
Pastor Kohler.
Yes.
He has a bit of an accent, but before we introduce him, and I'll just say this much right from the beginning, he is the leader of the Worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church, correct?
Yes.
Which means, basically, you're the lead pastor.
Yeah, you can call on this name.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm just going to give, because we've got a lot of people who are not Seventh-day Adventists listening to this radio program all across our great big sunburned country. You know this is a big country, don't you, Australia?
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you know that it is as big as the continental United States?
Let me tell you something. This is my first time visiting Australia. I was here for one day in the past. I'm just knowing a little bit more about this country, but I heard and I saw the map that's a continental country. I came from Brazil. It's a big one, but Australia is bigger than Brazil.
I'm not so sure about that, actually.
I hope it is.
I suspect Brazil is bigger. Hunty's going to look that up for me. Hunty, concentrate, son.
I hope I can be right.
I reckon Brazil's bigger than Australia, because it's an enormous country, isn't it, Brazil?
We can confirm that.
Yeah, we're going to do. Hey, let me tell you, let me share with some of our listeners about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'll just go through it quickly. About 25 million members.
Yes.
160,000 churches and congregations worldwide, maybe a few more.
A little bit more. A little bit more than 180,000.
It's growing quickly, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Without notice, would it be fair to say the Adventist Church is one of the fastest growing Protestant churches in the world?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah. 21,600 pastors?
We count more than 30,000 pastors.
Wow.
Out. Yeah.
Well, I got more.
Ordained and not ordained. It is those who are new in the ministry and those who are a little bit more experienced, more than 30,000.
30,000.
Coming about in with the landmass size?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 10% bigger than Australia. It's one of the fifth largest countries in the world.
I was defeated, but I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. The only reason I knew that is I was checking the other day on country size and I saw Brazil. You've got to be joking. Brazil's bigger than Australia.
Let us be friends. We are almost the same, yes?
Yeah, we're almost the same.
It's a tithe, 10%.
Okay, so 30,000 pastors.
Yes, 30,000 pastors.
72 universities. And these are schools that actually are universities.
We count 69.
69. You know,
numbers can change a little bit, but 69.
120-odd tertiary institutions. That's colleges. And
yes.
This blew me away. 10,291 schools. 2.4 million students.
Yeah.
That's about right?
Yes.
And 229 hospitals and sanitariums.
Yes.
25 million patients annually.
That number I don't have. You can check it on internet, but it's a huge one.
So even though in Australia we're not a real big church, I think there's about 66,000 Adventists in Australia, mm-hmm. in a population of 26-odd million. Yeah. So not a big church, but we're trying to do our best to share the message, the gospel message in this country. Even though it's not a big church in Australia, it is a pretty big church worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a fair comment?
Yes, we can share a little bit more numbers with you. We are, as you mentioned, almost 25 million members. We are present in 212 different countries and territories. We know we have only 23 countries or territories that we didn't reach. You can see our reaching is big. We are present in almost the entire world. And it's a very relevant denomination if we think in the Christian aspect of the denominations.
Have we got plans to go into those 23 countries?
Yes, of course. We are working for that. In some of those countries, we are not officially present there. But we are there. We can't mention names because we are not allowed to be there.
Yeah.
We have members. Sometimes we have pastors. But in our official lists, we are not there. But we are working and we are trying to find the best ways to share the message of hope with the population in those countries.
Internet is helpful, isn't it, in some of those countries?
Well, of course.
Difficult to get into. Now, you are the president of the Worldwide Seventh-day Adventist Church. For our listeners, as I say, many not Adventists, quite a number not Christian, what does that mean and what do you do briefly? What do you do? So what does it mean and what do you do?
You can define it in many different ways, but I consider myself the global pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mm. If you think in the organization, the institution, I am the president, the CEO, or you can call by different names, but as we are a church, I consider myself the pastor. I need to coordinate the work of the church. I'm the chair of many different committees. I am organizing the strategies of the church to reach the world in those 23 countries and all these things. My time is busy because we have a lot of pastors and countries and churches and companies and members. And I need to find the ways to keep the church united, faithful to the message, and close to Jesus. This is my main task as the leader of the church.
Do you get sick of meetings?
Sorry?
Do you get sick of meetings? Do you get tired of meetings, man?
Yes. Sometimes it's too busy and we have too many of them from the beginning to the end of the day. Chairing meetings. And you can imagine when we have these meetings, we have different cultures, different personalities. It's not easy to manage that. It's very exhausting.
Do you have to be a peacemaker?
Many times.
So you
in meetings and out of meetings.
Yeah, that's kind of part of the job, isn't it? Because you're trying to pull together people from all around the world with different cultures, different expectations, and you've got to chair a lot of meetings with them on it, and they're coming to these meetings. You've got to be a peacemaker.
Yes, of course. This is one of the characteristics of those who follow Jesus, to be peacemakers, but especially in the case of a global church.
Yeah.
We don't break our identity or our theology to be peacemakers, but we are always trying to find ways to create some identity and to help people to see that we are one in Jesus. We can respect each other, our cultures, our identities, but we can be one in Jesus Christ and we can follow the same message, the same vision.
Yep.
And this is one of my main tasks as the leader of the church.
Yeah, I thought it might be actually. Now, you've got a bit of a different accent. Where were you born and brought up?
Well, I mentioned at the beginning, I came from Brazil.
Yep.
I'm living in the United States for a little bit more than 4 years. And the English is my third language. I'm still learning and sometimes looking for the best words to express everything.
So you're only 4 years out of Brazil.
Yes. And almost 5 years.
What languages do you speak? Obviously, English.
Portuguese and Spanish.
Oh, you speak Spanish.
Podemos hablar español si necesitas acá, no?
There's a lot of Spanish people in here in Australia enjoying
yes.
that. Give us a little bit of Portuguese.
Yeah, é prazer estar com vocês aqui, conversando com a Faith FM agora.
I haven't got a clue, but it sounded good.
You can trust on me. I said just good things.
Yeah. okay, so you were brought up a Seventh-day Adventist?
Yes.
You were
My great-grandfather became an Adventist person. He came from Germany. He knew the message in Brazil, and after that, my family has been faithful to the Lord and always members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
So the caller is German?
Yes.
From Prussia, you were saying?
Prussia, yeah.
Yeah.
At that time, it was part of Germany.
I think the warriors come from Prussia and Germany, actually,
yeah.
from what I've heard. Okay, so you brought up a Seventh-day Adventist. You went to Seventh-day Adventist schools and universities?
Yes.
Okay.
I had this privilege.
So you've always been a Seventh-day Adventist?
Yes, all the time.
Your conversion, because you can be born a Seventh-day Adventist, but you've still got to have a conversion.
Yeah.
How old?
I don't have a moment that I can say I was converted at that moment. You know, you can born a Seventh-day Adventist person and be faithful, and your faith can be strong and stronger and stronger. That was my situation. I don't remember a moment when I said, now I'm faithful to the Lord. Now I understood everything. I just started that journey. And I felt going. More comfortable, more faithful, more convinced, more converted on that during all my life. I didn't have any experience out of my faith. I was always faithful to the Lord in this denomination and according to the message that we received.
I think that's remarkable because there's not yes. many people can say that.
I value a lot those who had a very strong and unforgettable experience, but that was not my case.
I think God calls us in different ways.
Yes, of course.
You can only have that sort of experience, strong and unforgettable experience, if you've wandered. And I did wander, and I'm very unhappy about that when you reflect back. You know, they say you shouldn't regret your life, but I think you do. When you think, I went from 13 to 26, and I think of you who stayed with the Lord in those times of your life, it is the most, almost the best time to be with the Lord is in your youth, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's precious. You know, we need to respect each other. We have different perspectives, different realities, different experiences. And I value my experience. I recognize that you had a different one. It was hard in some aspects, but it was blessed in others. We have different perspectives, but the most important is now we are walking with the Lord. And yeah. He called us in different moments That's right. of our lives.
That's right. That's right. Although I will say this, and I've reflected on it a lot. When you do wander from the Lord, especially in your youth, you do a lot of damage to yourself.
Yes.
You do a lot of damage to
you
others.
You pay a price for that.
You do, and those scars will be with you until Jesus comes. It doesn't mean you move on. It doesn't mean you don't move on, but there are scars. So I would, if there's a young people listening to this, I would recommend what our pastor has done. He went the whole way with Jesus.
Yes, yes.
You became a pastor. You trained at university for that?
Yes, yes. I was in Brazil. As you mentioned, I studied in Adventist education
yep.
all my life. And I went to our university in Brazil to study theology and my master's degree, always in Adventist institutions.
Were you 18 when you went there?
Sorry?
Did you finish school 18 years of age
yes,
when you went? So you
yes.
went straight in. So you've been a pastor since you're 22?
No. When I started to be a pastor?
Yeah.
I started my ministry in 1990.
Same year as me.
Yes. Oh, excellent.
But I'm looking at you, brother, and you're younger than me. As soon as I saw him, I thought, this guy's a young
you
man.
You are much better than me.
I can see how you become GC president. Okay, so you went to university. You did your degree, and then you did your master's straight after it. Is that right?
No. In Brazil, it's different. You have your graduation, and after graduation, you start to be a pastor.
Okay.
And later in your ministry, you can find the best time for that. You can start to study your master's degree. It's not like a connected program.
I understand.
It's separate.
It's a bit like that in Australia. Yeah. I think the Americans
I completed my master's degree in 2007. Just to have an idea, it was 17 years later.
Is that it? You hold it up at a master's or you've gone on and done other education after that?
I'm studying my DMIN now.
Okay.
Just working on my dissertation, trying to find the best way to complete that process.
I have no idea where you get the time
for
that.
You can have an idea.
We're
still here in Australia this morning. I was working on my dissertation.
I'm going to watch you from afar to see when you graduate from that. I think it's going to be a battle. Were you a pastor, just a local church pastor to start
yes.
off with?
Yes. I was local pastor in two different locations in the city of São Paulo in Brazil.
Yep.
And after that, I became youth leader.
Okay.
For the Seventh-day Adventist Church in what we call the local conference.
Yep.
That's a group of local churches. I worked there for 4 years. Later, I worked as a youth director in a union. That's a larger office of the church. Later, in a division. That's the South American division. And after that, I became the president of that division for almost 15 years.
So you spent a lot of time in either youth work and or administration.
Yes, yes. 12 years in youth ministries and 15 years in administration.
Now, I'm going to throw this question in because I'm genuinely interested. In Brazil, we hear these stories that the message of Jesus and Adventism is going like a fire. Is that true?
Yes, it's true. The church is very dynamic in Brazil, and people is very committed to the mission. Brazil is a very Christian country. It seems it's a little bit easier than here in other parts of the world, but it's important to see not only the easiness of the country, but the commitment of the members of the church. And they are creative. You
is
have
that
a
the
lot
key?
Of young people.
Is that the key? Did you just hit the key then, the commitment of the members? Is that the key?
I believe that's one of the keys.
Okay.
We have a lot of, or they have, because I'm not living there anymore, they have a lot of young people as members of the church. And you know, where you have young people, you have creativity, dynamism, and other stuff. You have young pastors, maybe 50 or 60% of the pastors are young pastors. You can imagine their fire.
Yeah.
And I can see this generational situation, their commitment to the message, and their commitment to the mission as well. This is one of the key factors that I can recognize in the church in Brazil for the growth that they have.
And
you have in Brazil almost 2 million members in one country.
Wow.
It is an explanation of this enthusiasm.
And you have a powerful media center there too.
Yes, yes. In the media center there, you have radio, TV, and internet, three different ministries. And just to give you an idea of the size of that, just in that media center, that not works only for Brazil, but for the whole South America, you have right now 650 people working for communication.
Did you say, what? Say that again?
650, to make it easier for everyone. 650 people working in all these three areas, radio, TV, and internet, making it dynamic and using that for the mission, for preaching the gospel, to share hope with the population. And it is covering in Brazil 92% of the country with radio and TV. You can see it's important, a lot of people working, but reaching a lot of people as well.
I'm looking at our president, Glenn Townend. I think you should send some of us media guys over there on a trip to Brazil to have a look at their media center.
Pastor Glenn Townend was there last year, visiting that place. Yeah, he saw that.
That would be amazing. You've been there hunting?
No, but they had they had a trip there last year.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to go and have a look there, because we're in the media over here, but it's a tough gig in Australia to get into this secular culture.
Yeah, I can imagine it's not easy, but you are doing your best, and the Lord can reward your efforts.
I'm 62, and I hope and pray genuinely that I will live to see the day when the Holy Spirit strikes this sunburnt land for Christ.
Amen.
Because I've been in the work like you since 1990, and it's a long time to work in Australia in the tough field, you know. Look, a couple of more questions. You're married, you have children?
Yes. My wife is Adrian, she's a nurse, and I have two children. My son is a pastor as well, an ordained pastor in Brazil. He's a local pastor there. I have a daughter-in-law, Giovanna. She's an attorney. And my daughter, Mariana, she's studying psychology in one of Adventist universities in Brazil as well.
Now, you're the president of the Worldwide Church. Does your son get you, his dad, to preach in his local church?
Yeah, it's a challenge for him.
I bet you he goes after you, though.
Yes, yes. You know, I was not able to be there. Since I was elected the General Conference President, I'm still promising that one of these days I will go to this local district to preach for his members.
What did you feel like when you got elected president of the General Conference of the World Church? What was that initial feeling?
I felt small for the position. That was my first feeling. You know, because of my language, I'm still learning English, and I need to use the language around the world. I was working for the world headquarters for almost 3 years, and I needed more experience for that. When I was informed about that election, I was feel too small.
Yeah,
At that moment, I remember two things that were very key things for my decision to accept that position. Number one, the 4 weeks before the world session of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in our family worship, usually on Fridays during the Vesper, we get a Bible verse. We have a box, we get a Bible verse and read that as part of our reflection.
Yep.
For four consecutive weeks, we got a Bible verse from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, "I am with you." And it called my attention, and I comment with my wife, what the Lord is trying to say to us, because for 4 weeks we are getting the same Bible verse. And I just reminded that when they told me, "You are the one." And the second, immediately came to my mind, because I read in my Bible, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the session, the story of Moses, when the Lord called Moses and he said, "I have a heavy tongue. I can't be the one, because I don't know how to speak." And the Lord said, "I will speak on your behalf. I will send your brother."
Yeah.
And all these two things came to my mind, like reminding me, you are too small, but your Lord is a great Lord. Go with him and he will be with you.
It must be surreal, though, to know that the great God of heaven looked down on this earth.
Yeah.
25 million members and he looked at you and he says, I've got this special job for you.
Yeah.
I know we're all called. I feel calling very heavily myself. But it still must be surreal to know that the God of heaven did that.
Yeah.
To me, that would be...
More than once I thought on that. Yeah. My Lord, why me? Yeah. You have thousands of people better prepared than me, with more experience than me, and many other stuff. Why you selected me?
Yeah.
But later, I think that he told me, don't ask me. Just do the work.
Yeah.
You don't need to have all the explanations. You need to accept and move forward because I promise and I will fulfill that I will be with you. And this is my confidence.
It's a very deep calling. A very deep calling. What do you think the Seventh-day Adventist Church offers people in the world today? One, the biggest thing that the Adventist Church offers.
Let me try to highlight some things to you. Number one, I think that the Seventh-day Adventist Church offers the Bible to people.
Yep.
You have a lot of denominations based on good preachers, nice music, good fellowship. We believe that as Christians, we trust in the Bible. We know Jesus through the Bible. When we are in the world, we are to offer the Bible to the real life of people, not as a theory or something similar. Number two, as a denomination, we offer a vision of a whole life.
Yeah.
We don't care of people just in their spiritual life. We are concerned with their emotional life, their health, and all this stuff. This integral approach, this whole approach, is something very unique for the Seventh-day Adventist people. Yeah. And when someone comes to our church or are in touch with us, we offer to them something that can change their entire life.
Yeah.
We don't offer them just the spiritual elements or just an offer for the future. We offer something that can change their lives in the present and for the future as well. And the third one, as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we were raised because of the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those who know our history, they know that. Mm. We were raised because of that message. And that is the best message that we have to offer to the world. When you believe that Jesus will come again, your life is better now and will be better in the future.
Amen.
And I believe that we have this to offer for everyone, and it can make all the difference.
Oh, it makes all the difference. I just buried my dad. It makes all the difference.
You know that.
Oh, yeah. And my cousin died, a very young man, just a year or so back too. It's a wonderful hope. Just a couple more questions because our listeners wouldn't realize, but he's pretty severely jet-lagged at the moment.
Yeah. I'm still suffering that.
Yeah. But I reckon this is the only time we're ever going to get you on this radio show.
Thank you so much. You are very kind.
What do you think is the greatest danger for the Adventist, for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and perhaps even for greater Christianity today? And you're talking on the back of 36 years of experience in the church as a pastor.
Well, it's easier for me to talk about the benefits and the blessings and what we have to offer. But let me think, maybe the biggest danger that we have is to be a church without Jesus.
Mm. Yeah.
Can you understand what I'm talking about?
Of course.
We can be an organization without Jesus. Good buildings, programs, events, properties, investments, meetings without Jesus. It means nothing. Irrelevancy. Or maybe we are church members gathering every Sabbath, all together singing, praising, praying, hearing messages and all this stuff, but without Jesus, we can be a good business corporation. We can be a good social club and other stuff. This is the biggest danger because we are Christians. Mm. And if we are Christians, we are representing Christ. And we believe that Christ can make the difference in our lives. If we are a denomination, without Christ, we are nothing. And again, we are irrelevant to this world. And that could be the biggest danger. This is the reason why every single day when I preach, I ask people, please walk with the Lord. Be close to the Lord because He is the reason of our life. Yeah. This is discipleship. This is mission. This is everything. If Jesus is with us, we have everything.
Yeah.
We have reason to live and to share that. If we don't have Jesus, you can forget everything.
I'm with you on that. Two questions more. Is there a key doctrine in Adventism?
Well, we have unique doctrines. But I believe that one of the most important doctrines for us, I already mentioned, is the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
It is in our name. We are Seventh-day.
Adventists, because we believe in the second coming. And I love one of the most important words in the Bible for me, and that word is hope. This doctrine brings hope to our hearts. And I believe that this is one of the most important messages that we carry. And we know when we studied our theology and our call as the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, we believe that we were called, we were raised to prepare this world to the second coming of Jesus. This is our unique message that makes us different. And for this reason, I'd like to put this doctrine as not the most important or the unique one, but the most relevant doctrine and message that we have.
As you travel the world, you're talking about the second coming. And for our listeners, that's the belief that Jesus will come again to this world with all its pain and death. All the sorrow, all the wars will finish. Jesus will come and rescue us.
Amen. Yeah.
Do you see the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead, working strongly in the Adventist church worldwide as you travel?
Yes, I see.
You see it?
More in some places than others. Because in some places we can see hearts very close to that, discussing the theology of the Holy Spirit and all this stuff. In other places, the secularism is closing the hearts of our people. They are much more focused on this world than in the things that will come. And because of that, the Holy Spirit maybe is not working too strongly on that, on those areas. But around the world, we can see miracles after miracles as a result of the presence of the third person of the Trinity working in the hearts of our members and through our members working in the hearts of the community. Yeah. It's very clear. Yeah. You can see that situation as a result, or we can see the result of that in the growth of the church.
Yeah.
Last year, for example, we received 1.6 million new members to this church. If the Holy Spirit's not working, it will not happen. It is just one demonstration.
I'm breaking my promise now, because I have got one last question, but you're kind of piquing my interest there. Of those 1.6 million, are we struggling in the Western world, or are you seeing movement in the Western world too? And I want to use that word. I'm talking about America, Britain, Europe, Australia, New Zealand.
We are struggling, and I see movements both together. We are struggling. Those societies are very secularized. It's not easy to reach people. We are growing sometimes among foreigners, the immigrants, and others. But what we have these days in Australia is a meeting calling all people from this territory of the church, especially from Australia, to discuss mission, the growth of the church, disciple making, and all this stuff. This is a movement among our church members.
Yeah.
The same we can see in the United States. I'm living there, and it's amazing to see the leadership of the church much more focused on the mission than I saw in the past. It means we are struggling, yes, of course, but we are moving. We have new leaders. We have youth pastors or younger pastors. And all of them are very open to do more, to believe more, and to see more clearly the work of the Holy Spirit among us. I have hope with the mission and the future of this church, despite all the challenges that we are facing.
Look, I think you're right. There's hunger. It's real, acute hunger for Christ out there in our community. Yeah. It's just they're clouded by secularism and everything else that's in our cultures. Last question.
But just a final comment on that. I can see hunger in the world.
Yeah.
But they are looking for something that can be original.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes we are trying to live a Christian life that's a mix of too many things, trying to be like others, to see if we can attract them. People are looking for something original. Your faith is pure, is based on the Bible. You love people. Your life makes the difference in the life of others. And this is a call that you need to receive as a Seventh-day Adventist church. Let us be faithful to our message. That's the only way to be instruments of God, to make a change in the life of others. If we are faithful to the word, if the Lord is working in our hearts, if we are loving as Jesus loved us, we can make the difference. But if we are trying to be like others, to forget the core of our message, just to be nice people where we are, we will lose this identity and we will lose the fervor and the focus on the mission, and we will not impact the society.
Yeah, people want to see Jesus in you.
Yeah.
That's very important. Yeah. Last question, and I reckon it's probably the most important question of all. With such a busy life, and I couldn't imagine it, what what your life is like, how do you personally stay close to Jesus?
Many ways. Let me highlight at least two of them.
Yep.
Number one, this is the first thing that I do every single day. Maybe here I'm suffering the impact of the jet lag. I woke up this morning a little bit confused, but let me take time to pray, read my Bible, and study the Sabbath school lesson. That's something that's very special for us as the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Every single day, early in the morning, late in the morning, according to my appointments, but always Jesus and the Bible and His message and the prayer is the first thing that I have every day. Because if I open the way and I start to forget it and put other stuff as the first, Jesus will disappear in my life and I will be a good business professional or leader, but without Jesus. And I mentioned at the beginning, that could be the biggest danger of the church and for my life as well. This is the first thing that I do every single day. And in my leadership, I used to pray and ask God's guidance always before any special meeting or interview or program that I have, understanding that what I'm doing is not for me. I'm very small, too small, but the Lord can guide me. He can give me the right words. He can give me the wisdom that I need to chair meetings, to keep the peace among people, to keep the cultures together. I need Him. I keep this clear in my mind. You are nothing. He's everything. You need Him. You depend on Him. These kind of things are keeping me always connected to the Lord during the day. Because, you know, I can pray in the morning, I can ask His blessings, and I can go. No, no, no. This is my personal life.
Yeah.
I need the Lord.
Yeah.
But when I go to my workplace, there I need His guidance to manage, to lead everything, because I'm not working for me. I'm working for His church. Yeah. And it's very clear, I am nothing. He's everything. This is the only way to move forward and keep a position like the position that I have.
Bible study, prayer. You could almost put church in there, couldn't you, too?
Yes, of course. I am a member of the church. I am participating in all the programs of the church, but I'm talking about my personal life. Yeah.
It stirs you up, though, personally, when you go to church, doesn't
it? Yes, 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 of course.
You know,
we can expand. The mission is another one.
Yeah,
I'm always trying to find ways to share my faith and the Bible message with others. It's part of my personal life with Jesus, the frequency of the church and all this stuff. But thinking in my daily routine, that's the point. You know, my favorite Bible verse is Matthew 6, verse 33.
Yeah.
But do you remember that?
Yep.
Search God first.
Seek ye first.
Seek, I'm trying to translate it to English because
kingdom.
I have it in Portuguese.
Yeah, seek ye first the
but
kingdom.
But seek, yes, first. That's the key word. And this is the reason why this is my favorite verse. If you seek God at the first in your life every day, you will be the first for Him every day as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, look, we serve Jesus. We would normally do this the other way around, but as we close this little segment of our program, I wonder, we would usually pray for you, but you are our leader, and I wonder whether you'd be prepared to pray for us and for the South Pacific Division, which is the South Pacific Church, and for all our listeners in Australia as we close this section.
Let me pray.
Thanks.
It will be a privilege for me.
Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be together now. Not only to talk about faith, about the church and other things that we talked, but also to show and to share how much we depend on you. We are not a business corporation. We are a church. Mm-hmm. And in this conversation, we can be reminded that you are the owner of this church. But dear Lord, now, through Faith FM, I'd like to pray for all our listeners, wherever they are. Please, dear Lord, you know them by name. Please, I would like to ask you, bless each of them according to your mercies, but according to their needs as well. Some of them are suffering health problems now. Others are facing family challenges or faith problems. Please, dear Lord, they are your children. Surround them with your angels. Take care of them and show them how much they are loved by you. I can't see any of our listeners now, but you can be closer to them. I pray for them. I pray for the Seventh-day Adventist Church family in all this South Pacific region. You know, our leaders here, our pastors, the administrators of the church. But Lord, we are all your servants. Be with each of them
be with each of us and keep us faithful to you, united in sharing the message and expecting to see Jesus coming soon in the clouds of heaven. We pray and we thank you because we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you.
And I think you can probably go and have a little sleep now if you like.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a privilege for me to be with you today.
Thank you.
Next time you're in Australia.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Time for a song, mate.
Yeah, Tell the Mountain, yes. which is a song, Hunty, about what we've been talking about. Take Jesus to the world.
In the foothills of sorrow, looking up from the valley of fear, you can see doubt off in the distance, and you're about to lose heart right here. But don't ever give in, don't ever give up. God is with you and you'll overcome.
The mountain will tell you that you can't make it over. It will try to convince you that it's way too hard.
The trials he's brought you through, and when his power gave you strength for the journey, the very hour you needed him to. So don't be discouraged. Time after time, never fail you, Lord and
night. The mountain will tell you that you can't make it all.
That song,
ripper.
I've always liked that song. It is a ripper, and I've never heard anyone sing it except those guys from Canada.
Yep. And they're awesome.
Yeah, they are awesome. That who was it again? Who sang that, Hunty?
That's one of my favourite groups.
Yeah, who is
Fountain Academy?
I'm glad because I can't find it, so I'm waiting for you to find it. I want to welcome Pamela Townend, our next guest today.
Hello.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
A Sydney girl.
Well, actually, a Melbourne girl, but I'm living in Sydney.
You've been in Sydney a long time.
10 years now.
Oh, is that all? I've been in Sydney longer than you then. You know how long I've been in Sydney? 26 years.
You're part of the furniture.
And when I left Avondale College, which is now Avondale University, when did you guys, you graduated what?
85.
You got out before me. You guys must have went to college young.
Oh, yes, I was still a baby.
Yeah, because I went there in 86 and I was only 21 in 86. So when I got out of college, I said, I will never go to Sydney. You never say that to God, do you?
No, that's exactly right, because I said that too.
Now, you're married to a pastor.
I am.
So you have been all over the place.
Oh, yes. Queensland to Tasmania to Western Australia out to Fiji and now Sydney.
So in Queensland, Tassie, you
Melbourne.
Were local pastors?
Yes.
Now, we're in Queensland right now. What was the local churches in Queensland you cared for?
We started on the Gold Coast.
Like me.
Yep, Gold Coast was it, and it was a great place.
What churches?
It was called Southport in those days, then Burley Gardens.
That's exactly. I started it. Was it a senior pastor, pastors, or how did that work?
Glenn was under somebody. It was his first role.
Me too. Well, I never knew that.
Well, there you go. We've got something in common.
We have. I was a youth pastor.
Aha.
Yeah, I loved it too. It was a great place.
He was too, in a way, because he worked with all the youth, and I joined him because we weren't married when he first went there. Then I joined him and had a ball, and then we went to Roma.
Oh.
What a contrast.
We've got a lot in common because my dad was the pastor of Dolby Chinchilla and Roma.
No way.
He was.
Right next door to us.
Yes, that was incredible.
Yeah.
I actually kind of grew up out Dolby we were in.
Yes.
Yeah. So have you enjoyed being a pastor's wife?
Oh, I've loved it.
You married Glenn, who is your husband, knowing that he would be a pastor.
Correct, which I guess I kind of knew what I was stepping into, but on the other hand, no idea. It's totally different to anything I'd ever experienced
You
before.
Guys could write a book on your lives and on your ministry.
And you know, yesterday, 40 years of marriage.
Wow.
So I've got a few chapters I could write.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
But it goes fast.
But short.
Mm. Yeah, it goes very fast.
Yeah, it does.
Now, the reason I got you on is because I'm interested in this 10,000 Toes ministry. And I promise you the first time that we talk to you about this, that we're going to continue to ask you from time to time about this ministry, because it's not a static ministry, it's actually a growing ministry.
It is.
But maybe tell us what it is and what the primary goal of it is.
Okay, so 10,000 Toes is all about turning the tide on diabetes in the Pacific countries, in the South Pacific, because here in Australia, we have a lot of healthcare, so we don't really need it. But in the islands, it's totally different. They don't have doctors and nurses nearby, and so diabetes is a major problem. And a lot of the countries rely on ships to bring their food, and there's lots of processed foods. Research has showed us that processed foods are one of the worst things for health, and that it can lead to diabetes, heart, strokes.
Was diabetes there before?
No.
No way.
No. Diabetes has come about because of the Western society that has come in, changed their the diet. Way they do it. They don't work the gardens like they used to because they think that the way the Western people live, that that's a better lifestyle. And so they've given up their gardens. They've shifted to the cities and they sit in front of desks like what we do in the West.
It's a tragedy, actually, isn't it?
It's a crying shame.
Because their lifestyle is better than that.
It is. And unfortunately, some of the big companies, and I won't mention them because I don't want to be sued by anybody, but they bring in all their soft drinks and their junk foods and their processed food and their white rice, etc. And that's what they... So if they have a garden, they might go and take those beautiful vegetables down to the market and sell it, then walk to the supermarket and buy all the junk food that you could possibly think of.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking when you look at what's happening.
So 10,000 Toes deals with diabetes in the Pacific.
Yes. While we focus on diabetes, hence the 10,000 Toes, and I'll probably explain a bit later the connection there, but while we're dealing with diabetes, we're actually dealing with every other lifestyle disease that you could possibly think of, because you deal with one, you actually hit all of them.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I know I had to make some pretty dramatic changes in my own life because I got what they call pre-diabetes.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that the diabetes in the Pacific is almost solely, as you said, through diet, not through, because there's two types of diabetes in there,
One, which is more hereditary.
Yes.
Type two is lifestyle, and that's the one we deal with. And the stats in February, Fiji released their latest stats, and 98.6% of people have one NCD, which is a lifestyle disease. Can you believe that? That means that only 1.4% of people are healthy?
I actually can, because I know in my own personal life here in Australia, in a processed food country,
yes,
how difficult and how, not how difficult, how actually easy it was to go to a pre-diabetic condition.
Yes.
It's when you really look at it, and when I went to my doctor and to the dietitian, the one thing they said to me is, look, stop eating processed food.
Exactly.
And even in Australia, there's no excuse really for us to eat too much processed food.
Exactly.
But we do.
And the difference is that in the islands, they don't know they have pre-diabetes. They just, there's nobody checking that they've got it. So unlike you, you can actually do something about it. So unless a campaign like 10,000 Toes comes along and helps them understand their health, then they're not going to know they're in facing an early death. That's what it boils down to.
And they are dying
to.
From it, aren't
oh,
they?
Oh, they are dying from it.
And
yes.
before they die, they go from some pretty gruesome stuff, people losing limbs and
yes, every 20 minutes somebody in the Pacific is having a toe, a leg, an ankle chopped off.
That's why it's called 10,000 toes.
That's right.
Does that mean you're trying to save 10,000 toes?
We are trying to save toes, but you know what? We've saved more than 10,000 toes. I guess in the beginning it was a catchy title,
yeah, it is.
And we thought, oh, if we could save 10,000 toes, wouldn't that be cool? But we reached that a long time ago, but the campaign still goes on because people tell us that it's a really catchy title, and they actually say, what is it all about? And so it gives us an opportunity to share.
You'd almost think God had to have been in the naming of that. Did you make that name up?
100%. Dr. Chester Coomer, Dr. Paul Rankin and myself sat around a table, and within about an hour we thought it was a funny kind of a name.
Yeah.
And we never dreamt that it would actually catch on and grow to the extent that it is now.
It is catchy because the first time I heard it, I didn't have a clue what it meant, but you want to know what it means. 10,000.
Yes.
It's one of those very catchy titles. So you actually are educating people in the Pacific.
We are. So we teach them first of all, we test them
yep.
and tell them about where they're at on the health journey.
That'd
and
be
then,
a bit shocking for some of them.
Oh, yes. I mean, some of them just don't even drink enough water.
Yeah.
Because they don't have access to clean water.
Yeah.
And so they might have a glass a day. Well, in the islands, it's hot.
Yeah.
And they actually need to be drinking more like 10 glasses. And so there's an issue right there without even getting into the food and the exercise. And 10,000 Toes believes in a holistic approach. So we're actually looking at emotional, spiritual, intellectual. It's a whole seven dimensions, we call it.
And so you're going into villages or?
Yes, we're going into villages. We go door knocking. We pop up our tents with 10,000 Toes branding, and we invite people to come and have a health screening. And once they've had that done, we invite them to a lifestyle intervention program where we will teach them how to cook food with their local ingredients, how if they're used to eating two-minute noodles, we don't say don't eat your two-minute noodles, but why don't you add some chopped up beans and some spinach and, you know, all these and tomato.
They have
and
beautiful
onion.
Food out there, don't they?
Oh, they do. They have lovely food.
And you are also training local people
to stay there in their communities
and do the training.
That's right.
And it's spreading.
It is. So next month, May 15, go to Niue, which is the last of the countries on it, which means 14 countries now have 10,000 Toes ambassadors working, which equates to about 13,000 something that we know of that have been trained up as ambassadors.
That's
that
fantastic.
Are out there. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, it's actually not a bad way of sharing the gospel either,
is it?
To make, you know, help people. Jesus did that.
Yes.
He would go into communities, he would heal them, then he would share his love.
That's right.
He'd share his love.
He shared his love.
Yeah, but he'd tell them the truth of the kingdom.
That's right.
Are you the one who started this, Pamela?
There was three of us, Dr. Chester Coomer, Dr. Paul Rankin and myself. Yes.
What made you think, you and your travels with your husband's one of our, well, he is a lead pastor in the South Pacific.
That's right.
Was it just travelling around and observing this yourself? Or?
What actually happened is Dr. Chester Coomer came home from holidays. He's actually a Solomon Island surgeon.
Yep.
He came back from the Solomon Islands and he was looking a bit gloomy. And I said to him, Chester, you should be feeling really happy because you've just had a month's holiday. And he said, oh, Pam, it was terrible. Three of my best mates died while I was on holidays. And I said, what from? And he said, all diabetes. Now, these were people, one was a lawyer, one was a health professional like him. And to be honest, I can't remember the third one. But technically, they should have known better.
Yeah.
But they don't. And Dr. Chester was really heartbroken because he'd lost three friends. And I said to him, we need to do something. And so we sat around the table, called Paul in, and it just, it was a God moment. It was one of those things that it just unraveled and the
campaign. Does it make you feel good?
Oh, yes, it does.
To know that your life has been a part of making a difference in so many people's lives?
It does. But what excites me even more is the fact of watching lots of young people come on board and watching them as they become ambassadors. The lights go on. So not only does that ambassador have their life changed, but they get the opportunity to go and serve others, and that empowers them. So it's this multi-faceted thing that ends up happening. So you're not just helping the ambassador or you're not just helping the person in the community. You're helping everybody. And the other thing we do is train up doctors and health professionals, nurses in lifestyle. So in some ways, we touch everybody's lives.
Do you get support from the local governments, like prime ministers? And
Yes, we do. So a lot of the countries are now signing MOUs with us and are supporting us financially.
Because you're saving them a lot of money.
We are.
We know
that. And we're going to save them a lot more too as everybody gets on board.
Are you in Australia?
We are. We will be. In August, we start our first pilot at Mamaratha College, which is in Western Australia. And we'll be working. So we're contextualising all our resources at the moment, and then we'll be working with the Indigenous and the Torres Strait folk.
And the idea would be to train up
same principles.
Indigenous young people generally to go back to their people with
because
this message.
They are the ones that connect. I can't.
Yeah.
I don't understand their culture, but they can. And it's exciting, once again, to watch these people get excited about health.
Dreams of the future?
Dreams of the future. Well, we've just about covered all of the Pacific, and we're working with what's happening in Australia. Maybe it might be time to go to other countries. Who knows?
Well, it could be, couldn't it? Because the Pacific is just a start. And I would think that this ministry is needed all over the world.
Yes. There is an issue.
In fact, there's an issue in Australia, isn't there?
There is.
In our first world Australia. Maybe somewhere, somehow, you might need to do something here for the larger
population.
Well,
it's quite possible. We also have a lot of Pacifica regions within Australia. And, of course, they bring
The same issues.
That's right.
Challenges.
And Australia is so easy to access those processed foods, as we've already said.
Where would we be in our rugby and our rugby league without the Pacific Islanders?
That's right.
Yeah, they're here and we love them.
Yes.
Okay, well, look, it's wonderful to have you, Pamela. Last question is, if I wanted to support financially this ministry, because I'm imagining you do need financial support.
Oh, most definitely.
You never can have enough, can you?
No, you can't.
Where would you go? What would you do?
10,000toes.com on our Facebook or Instagram, and on the Facebook there is a shop, and we actually have merchandise like socks and umbrellas and flip-flops, lots of other bits and pieces, and all of it, 100% of the money that is sold goes to the campaign.
Fabulous.
And that's what I love, because we don't take out
any... Is it tax-deductible?
They're not through the shop. But we do have, if you go to our Adopt a Clinic under the 10,000 Toes page, there is two options. One's through ADRA and the other one is through the Adopt a Clinic, and it is tax deductible. So it's a good point. We're at the end of April.
That's right.
End of tax year's coming up.
Exactly,
and we would love people to donate. And if there's any businesses out there, we'd be happy to come and run a function at your place like we're doing with Sanitarium. Yep. They are supporting us at the moment, which is wonderful.
Yeah. Actually, I should make this clear. 10,000 Toes is supported by who?
It's supported by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we partner with ADRA as well, and Sanitarium have been a wonderful support to us as we've been in the last few years. The network is growing of people that want to come on board and help us, and we've also got lots of medical places that donate, have heard about us and have offered us bandages and equipment, and we appreciate all that, even right down to bedding, sheets, towels, because we have clinics got hospital beds.
Well, look, I'm going to get you back if I can, God willing. I've learned to say in my old age, God willing. I'm going to get you back, God willing. in the next couple of months, because next time you come back, I would like you to bring some stories.
Oh, and I will have come back from New A, and won't
That's
I have
right.
some stories there?
When are you going to New A?
I go May 15, I think. They only have 2 flights a week.
Yeah, that's right.
So you go in and then you drop back a day because of the dateline, and it's going to be exciting. And the thing is, this is our last Pacific Island country, so it's almost like, I don't know, I'm very excited to be going and in that process of being involved in that rollout. It's going to be a special one.
Well, we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
I'm going to let you announce the song while I have a cough.
Yes, it's a fantastic song. It's entitled Yet Not I, But Through Christ. I love it. I hope you do too, listeners.
Jesus now and ever is my plea.
my favourite songs, that one, Hunty.
Yeah, mine
too. And I love singing it in church too.
It goes well in your home.
Do you know that the girl who wrote that and sings it, the lead singer, not in that version.
Yeah.
Because that's the Baptist college in the United States singing it. The girl who wrote it and sings it.
Yep.
Was my son, who now is at Avondale University, his teacher, his
That's
music
awesome.
Teacher.
That of that private Christian school?
Australian Christian College.
Yeah, nice.
She's the one who wrote it and sings it.
It's a beautiful song. I love it.
It is a beautiful song.
Yeah.
I've tried to get it to New Hope, and we're still trying. So if you're listening out there, we'd love to have
you. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Yep. I've got another very special guest today. I'm working hard today.
You are.
Pastor Glenn Townend. You're the president of the South Pacific Division. I think you better tell us what that means first off, because we've got a lot of listeners on here who aren't Adventists, don't know how our system works. It's a worldwide system. We've just been talking to the president of the Worldwide Church, which was a privilege.
Mm.
What does it mean to be the president of the South Pacific Division?
So that means that the South Pacific, the General Conference, is the whole world. And Pastor Erton Kohler is our lead pastor for the whole of the world.
Yep.
And then that's world's divided up into 13 and a couple of other little sections. And so I guess I'm his support pastor.
You're his associate pastor.
For the South Pacific, the 19 countries in the South Pacific.
So we would be looking east would be the furthest, what, Tahiti?
The major country, Pitcairn.
Oh!
The little British
That's in our
New
division.
Zealand protectorate.
Pitcairn. Have you ever been to Pitcairn Island?
I have not.
Have you got any intention of ever going there? It's hard, isn't it?
It's hard to get there. It takes a good round trip will take you a month, and that's staying on there maybe a week.
So it's very difficult for you to actually get there with your busy schedule.
Mm.
You got any interest in ever going there?
Yeah, look, I do, and I've had Zoom contact with the church there because there's only one church, a Seventh-day Adventist church in Pitcairn.
Yep.
And, a lot of the population go there.
Yeah.
And from time to time we have pastors, and so I've connected with them. And
yeah. So it's Pitcairn in the east, Australia in the west?
Yeah, and Christmas Island.
Which
is Western Australia.
I'm guessing you've been there because you were once a Western Australian.
No, I have not.
You're not a junket president, are you? In other words, you're not going around visiting.
Well, I don't just go to places to tour. No.
I have a fascination with Christmas Island, actually.
Yeah.
I'd like to go there.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I've known people who've lived there when I was in Western Australia. Yeah, know a bit about it and some of the people, but no, never been.
So we've got Pitcairn in the east, Christmas Island in the west, in the south it'd have to be New Zealand.
Yes, it is.
And in the north would be?
Kiribati. And Christmas Island in Kiribati, just under Hawaii.
So Christmas Island and Kiribati, are they in the southern or the northern hemisphere? I don't know the
answer. It's just over, it's in the northern hemisphere.
So this is a big, big division.
Mm.
Would we be one of the biggest in area?
As far as water,
yeah.
Okay. You know, the Pacific Ocean,
yes,
we are certainly the biggest. As far as population, we're quite small. There's only about 47 million people.
But we do have one of the fastest growing areas for the Adventist Christian Church in the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Pacific Islands, it's quite amazing to see what God's doing there.
Yeah, and you used to work in Fiji.
I did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you were never in Papua New Guinea.
I grew up in Papua New Guinea as a child.
Oh, okay. So you have got a connection to PNG.
Yeah, 5 years. Me so we talk pigeon gupla.
M now.
So, do you speak pigeon?
Oh, yeah.
So when you go up there, which you do from time to time, you would be...
I'm up there at least four times a year.
Preaching in pidgin.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go. There's something about you I did not know.
And conversation and,
So how old were you? I never knew this. How old were you?
Between 10 and 15.
Oh, they're formative years. Mm. No wonder you know how to speak the language.
Yeah.
Okay, so how long have you... So the lead pastor of the South Pacific, I think that's the easiest way for our radio listeners to understand. How long have you been doing it?
Yeah, just over 10 years.
You enjoy it?
Mostly.
You get tired?
I do.
Because you'd be on the road all the time.
Yes. And I love travel.
not the actual travelling.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I had a record on one plane without getting off. I was 25 hours.
Oh, there's no glamour in that.
None whatsoever.
And for what it's worth for our listeners, I would think, now I'm going to take a guess at this, but I reckon unless you're using point jaw in economy class, up the back with the rest of us.
I am.
But you do have one thing going for you. You're not a big bloke like us. Can you imagine Hunty and me in our trip to Jordan a year or so back, sitting next to each other in economy?
Yeah. Well,
no fun.
I'm glad there weren't probably too many others around.
Actually, they put us on the opposite sides of the plane.
Balance the plane.
Okay. Australia.
Mm.
I know it's only one part of your ministry, but you are... In Australia, you are Australian.
Mm-hmm.
Secularism of Australia, is it a challenge for the church and can we get through it?
Yeah, look, I believe so. I think hard, as I mix with people, hard secularists and people who are totally against religion, yeah, I find one or two here and there, but... you know, when, because people are always asking me, you know, and these are in leadership forums and business forums as well as, other church things of other denominations and stuff. They ask me, you know, what I do and whatever. And, yeah, not very often do you get people just go, oh, that's a lot of rubbish.
Yeah, yeah. So you're saying people are interested in...
Well, yeah, I think it might be just respect of conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, you know, some of the questions they ask, they kind of go, oh, they're kind of curious.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. Because when I go to the gym, I know, it's a surprise, but I do, I get the same thing. People are interested.
Hmm.
I'm not saying they're going to jump in and get baptised straight away, but they're interested.
Yeah, I think there is an openness to spirituality.
Yep.
And if they see that your spirituality and your belief actually brings positive life change,
yeah,
they go, oh, that's of value.
Yeah.
That's what I find. So I think... You know, if we can show people that, you know, all of this God stuff and who God is actually good and positive and beneficial, and I believe it is, I think people are open.
I think you're saying live it.
Absolutely.
A bit like our Elder Kohler was saying, hey, look, you're the division president. It is a very... It's an awesome responsibility. It's a job, though, I'd imagine, watching from afar, that you can get lost in meetings and all this sort of stuff. You can get lost in the management and the running of the church. Does God call you personally to share, and is there anything going on in your life in that area?
I talk to my neighbours a lot. I'll talk to people on planes and trains.
Are they shocked when they find out you're a pastor?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But my big hobby, where I interact with a lot of people, is cycling.
Okay.
So you're a
good cyclist?
I'm okay.
Are you fast?
Oh, I can be.
Okay. just before you go into any further, I'm interested in that. How far do you cycle on a good cycle? Good ride.
On a good ride, a good average ride, I'll do over 100 k's.
And at what's your speed?
Oh, between 28 and 30.
That's fast. That's pretty quick. You've been doing this for a long time.
For about 22 years.
So, tell me about your cycling and where God's leading you.
Yeah, well, look, I got into cycling for my health.
Yep.
I've always liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a four-year-old, my parents show me a picture and remind me I was on a trike with my brother on the back, and we lived in Mount Gambier, South Australia, and I was out the front gate going down the footpath And when my mum caught up with me, she asked me, where was I going? And I said, I'm going to Gympie to visit my grandparents.
That's a long ride, brother.
But I can say, in all honesty, I would have ridden that far.
Oh, yeah.
In extended rides.
Yeah.
I have had, 2,000 kilometres in a couple of weeks and stuff.
That's heavy going.
Yeah, it is. But for me it was about health. My doctor said, if you don't do something, your heart attack material.
Too many meetings, too many management.
Sitting down and eating and sitting down and talking and sitting down and listening in meetings, in cars, in homes, in offices and whatever. Yeah. It's a hazard.
Yeah.
And I've always had a mountain bike and a road bike, but just on and off.
Yeah.
But I started to take it seriously 22 years ago and haven't looked back. And as quick as I was back then, now.
Yeah.
I've
got a girl at my church I'd like to send out against you. Not that I'm competitive. I'm not competitive.
I'm happy to ride with anybody. And look.
Do you race? You do race, though, don't you, when you're riding a little? Is there no competitive stuff? Or maybe there's something wrong with me?
Look. Yes. I'm competitive nature.
Yeah.
But I haven't ridden in too many races.
So do you race? You don't race and put the pressure on your mates when you're out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
You have a bit of a go so often.
I want to get Hunty out and pressure him.
Here we go.
Because he's about the only one I reckon I could. So what are you going to do if there's cycling?
Well, you know, when you cycle and when you sit down at the local cafe and you're having a drink, people have lots of interesting reasons for cycling.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking, I've heard a lot of really good stories.
Yep.
And with a mate, I'm thinking, why don't we do a podcast and a radio show on Cycling for Life?
Good name.
I haven't tested it yet, whether it's there or not. But the idea would be, we'll talk a bit of cycling stuff, mammals, what kind of bike you like, who's your favourite rider, team, all of that. Because, just coincidentally, and I'm not trying to drop a name, this is my cousin's son is Caden Groves.
Okay.
Caden Groves is a top sprinter in the world tour.
Yeah.
I never get to see him.
Is he an Aussie?
He's an Aussie, yeah. He's from Gympie, Queensland.
And he's racing Tour de France?
He raced Tour de France last year. As a sprinter, but he won on a mountain stage.
Wow, I remember that.
He's one of the Aussies that actually won last year. Ben O'Connor, him.
If he won on a mountain stage, he can win the whole thing, possibly. Potential's got to be there, hasn't it?
It is. I mean, he rides for other people. He's not the...
Yeah, that's right.
He's not the star.
No.
It's in our DNA, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to tell people's stories. I mean, I cycle because I can't run. I've wrecked my ankle in basketball, my knee in AFL footy. The pounding is no good.
Yeah.
And so I got to do the rotation.
That's right. Beautiful.
And my doctor just told me I was a heart attack waiting to happen. And my grandfather had his first heart attack at the same age I was at that time.
Wow.
And I said, oh, wow, this is a wake-up call. Yeah. And so I just got back on my bike. And when I tell that story, other people tell their stories, and they're even more interesting, I think a lot more interesting than mine. And I want people to be able to share their cycling stories.
Cyclingforlife.com is available.
Oh, Hunty's already on it for you, buddy.
Look on the register.
Hey, when do you...
We better make it happen.
I know we're running out of time and we've got to get Nick Cross on here. We're going to cut the song, Hunty.
We're going to cut the song, absolutely.
Yeah,
cut
it. So,
cut
it. Give me a second.
Yeah, okay.
But I've got to ask this. When do you reckon we would see this program on Faith FM, the radio station you're now listening to? When will we see it up?
That's a very good question. I've talked to the management here.
Yep.
They're okay. They want to see a concept.
Yep.
And hear one.
Yep.
And so it's basically up to me and another guy.
This year?
Russell Wilcox. I think we'll get everything planned this year.
Yep.
And we'll have 12 programs lined up ready for next year. And then we'll go from there. That's what I think will happen.
Isn't amazing? Wherever you are, whatever station you have in life in the Church of God, he calls you to service.
Mm.
Thank you, Glenn Townend. All the best with this program. About to ask Nick about that. I wish we had more time, but we're not going away, God willing, and we'll get you back.
Thank you.
Yep, I've been before, so Lloyd, I'm happy to come back and to talk to you and Hunty.
God bless you, brother.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
Alrighty, I was going to play a song, but guess what, listeners? We're just switching guests right now. Lloyd, join me. We're switching guests. We can go right into the next interview with Pastor Nick.
Okay, Nick. Man, no music. All we got was a little spin. Yeah,
stings all you get,
and we've got 8 minutes 26.
No, I'm going to reset the clock.
Are you going to reset that? Yeah. Nick Cross, I think you and me go back 100 years.
Mate, I can remember you with the chippies belt on.
Yes.
Swinging a hammer up there in Brisbane back
pretty
in the
scary.
Day.
I can remember you on a surfboard up at Noosa.
Yeah, mate.
Cutting. Hey, I've got to ask you this, and it was in my questions I sent you, but are you still surfing?
Yeah, I've got a 9.6 Mal at the moment, which is a bit of an old man's board, but it's actually very easy.
Yeah, they are.
It has a lot of mercy.
Do you surf a shortboard anymore or not at all?
Not really, because I don't surf enough, Lloyd. I only surf probably every Christmas with my brothers up at Noosa, the points.
You'll retire in the next 5 or 6 years or something or other, like the rest
of
us.
At least the next 10 anyway, so yeah.
So you intend to go on a little bit longer?
We'll see. I always plan to retire at 65, but the closer I got to 65, mate, I started thinking, I got stacks of stuff I need to do.
Are you going back to the beach?
Yeah.
Do you live on the beach now?
I live at Wombe, which is
not
a very nice
part of
the town.
Not far from the beach. Are you going back to Queensland? Are you coming home or are you going to stay?
No, back to Queensland.
So you are going to come back to Queensland?
Back on the sunny coast.
Really?
Absolutely.
You know where you're going to go there yet?
Oh, Acreage.
Just in the hinterland a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nick, you're a pastor.
I am.
You've been a pastor for longer than me, buddy.
This is my 40th year.
That's scary.
In ministry, yeah.
40 years since you were hanging around at college, stirring everybody up there.
Chasing girls just like you.
Yes. And you did all right for yourself, didn't you? You got a nice girl there. Yeah, okay.
I picked up a Queenslander.
You did a Queenslander. Yeah, so you're all right to go home. I'm not sure I'll ever get home to Queensland, buddy.
No. Well, you settle down here where your kids are.
It's the kids.
Yeah.
And my kids are here, so.
That's it.
Now, just before we get into what we're doing right here now, and we need to do that today, because that's a whole reason for coming up here.
Sure.
What are you doing now? Because I actually don't know what you're doing now, Nick. I know you're doing a fantastic Bible project out in the Pacific. What was that called again?
The World Changes Bible Project.
I love
that. Yeah, thanks.
That really made an impact, didn't it?
It did. It has continued to make an impact, Lloyd. And we will be celebrating here tomorrow night with over 1 million World Changer Bibles that are in circulation.
That's
going to
make
right
it feel fabulous.
Oh, it's amazing, Lloyd.
Oh, yeah.
The church has supported this program to the utmost.
Well, I think like our leader said from the World Church today, we are a Bible-based church. That's what we do.
And with the Bible, every Adventist should own their own Bible, Lloyd. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. Well, can I go further? I reckon every Australian should own their own Bible.
Oh, absolutely, Lloyd.
And we'd get it to them if we could too.
Definitely.
Hey, so that you were doing that, but what are you doing now?
So now I'm immersed in a discipleship program based out of our university at Avondale.
Oh, okay.
So Gilbert Kanji started the program 2.5 years ago called Catalyst.
Yes.
And he's wanting to sort of ease back on the throttle, and I'm stepping in to take over his program.
Are you teaching?
Yes.
You're a good teacher. That'd go well with you, that job.
I teach how to share your testimony. I teach how to explain the gospel. I do small groups. I teach people how to be missional evangelists as well.
So we better get you back on, I think, this program and do this again with you so we can get into it a little bit more.
Sure.
How many programs a year do you run?
We run at the moment two 13-week semesters, the same as the university semesters.
Based at Avondale?
Based at Avondale.
So those who choose to come, do they stay in the dorms?
They stay in the dorms. Absolutely. Is it board and lodging.
Is it a costly thing?
It is, but we actually subsidise every student who comes significantly.
So if you come and you were to do this course, what's it called?
The Catalyst Program.
You would come out with the tools to share Christ.
Absolutely. And not just the tools, Lloyd, but the passion.
Okay.
Because we're teaching people how to immerse themselves in Scripture. We teach them how to actually get an understanding of how the Holy Spirit wants to lead their life,
yeah.
And also give them an understanding of their spiritual shape,
yeah.
Their spiritual gifts, their heart, their abilities, their personality, yeah. And their experiences. God doesn't waste any of that. He builds each one of us as a unique masterpiece.
And the guys who are teaching, men and women,
yep.
They are already proven in the field. These are guys who've been out there, done it, they know what they're
These
talking
are at the
about.
Top of their game, Lord. We have 20 different presenters come over 13 weeks.
Fantastic. Excuse me. I'm on the end of the flu, mate. I'm struggling a bit.
Sure.
Now, what are we doing up here? We're at Klanga Watson Park Campground, which is on the northern suburbs of Brisbane.
Yep.
We've got a big tent, and I reckon this tent would fit 2,000 or more people in it. Is that?
Oh, yeah. If it was packed out. Yeah.
So we're up here, and what are you doing here, mate?
So I've been pulling it together for the last 18 months, working with teams, dragging it all together. But basically what's going to happen here, Lloyd, over the next 5 days, this is a major vision casting summit for the entire South Pacific Division for the church.
So this is church that starts at Pitcairn, goes out to Christmas Island, up to PNG, into the southern end of New Zealand. All those Pacific countries are coming in.
Yes.
And you're casting vision.
We're casting vision here for discipleship.
What's that mean? I'm an Aussie. I'm a bricklayer, buddy.
Yep.
And I'm coming home from work and I'm sitting in the car and I'm listening to you talk.
Yep.
And you're a carpenter, you're a builder.
Yep.
What's that mean?
What it means is that a lot of people are looking for meaning in life today,
yep.
Particularly as the way the world is sort of, the way things are unfolding in the world today. People have got a lot of questions.
Yep.
And so we actually provide answers to those questions.
Bible answers?
Bible answers, and give people hope in a world that's becoming more hopeless.
So what's this program doing?
This program here is going to be equipping and empowering our leaders and our lay people, our church members, to go out and share their faith, share their testimony with their friends, and hopefully bring their other friends who are broken into a love relationship with Jesus.
And these are people from all over the Pacific who've come in?
Right across the Pacific.
Mainly your leaders or church members too?
There are leaders here. There's people that are bricklayers. There's carpenters.
Everyone.
There's accountants. There's school teachers. There's nurses here. We've got a really good mixed bag.
How many here?
On site now, just over 500, but there'll be close to 1,000 by tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be pretty big.
It'll be massive.
And how long have you been working to get this ready?
18 months.
That's a long time.
Yeah, well, you know, with the big event, Lloyd, you've been in the youth department. You know how it works. You sit around committees for months working it all out.
And then all of a sudden, kaboom, it's a nuclear explosion and it's all on.
Well, 5 days later, mate, it's all over. You're pulling all the tents down again.
Yeah. Can the public come to this, or is this more an in-house sort of a thing? And then I'm going to ask you, can the public watch it online? So there's two questions there. First, can they come, or is it more an in-house thing to start?
It's an open program. We advertised it right through our church communication level,
sure.
So anyone's welcome to come.
Yep.
And if you didn't get there, because the regos have actually closed now, you can watch the night programs on YouTube or on the Facebook page. I think it's SPD for Christ, SouthPacificForChrist.org.
SouthPacificForChrist.org. And here's the thing, Hunty's here.
Yes.
I'll get him also to whack it on our...
Yes, I'll put the link.
Facebook or YouTube, how does that work?
Done on Facebook.
Facebook. We'll put that on our
Facebook
page.
Live.
Yeah.
It's going live every night and all day Saturday as well, Saturday morning.
Yeah, we'll post it up for you.
Actually, Hunty, you're here to help out.
Yeah, I'm actually here, part of the crew.
What are you doing?
Hopefully a camera.
Oh, you're on a camera?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's a humbling experience.
We need people like Hunty around, mate. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
I'm a very humble guy.
Hunty is... can I do a bit of bragging?
Sure.
He's the best videographer in the Adventist Church in the whole world.
Well, mate.
It's lucky we're recording that.
That's a mouthful.
That's my resume for the next job. Great.
Save that one, Hunty.
Save it, yeah.
There is no next job for you, buddy. You'll go right through to the
end.
You've
got 2 minutes, man, before we get
up
and go.
So one more time, Nick. If I wanted, because I've got an outreach program about to start. I've got to go home, but I'm watching this online. Where do I go?
You'll go to SouthPacificForChrist.org.
Yep. So, and every night, what time's the program start?
Starts at 7:30 Brisbane time.
Well, that's Australian Eastern Standard
Australian
Time
Eastern
now.
Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Hey, what sort of speakers will be up? Are you speaking?
I'm going to be doing a workshop on
But not in the evenings.
Not in plenaries, no. We've got our world president here, the
leader
of the Adventist
Church.
We
interviewed him just before. So he's going to speak all week?
He's doing speaking all week.
Well, he's got a busy week, hasn't he?
He's got a busy week, but he's a great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got a passion for God. He's got a passion for people.
You would have known him for a while, I would imagine.
Well, he was a youth director.
Like us.
Yeah, absolutely. So he understands young people, which is awesome.
For those who don't know, Nick, how many years have you been a pastor? Did you say 40?
This is my 40th year.
And about 35 would have been in youth work.
31.
31 in youth work.
31 years.
And you've worked all, you've worked New Zealand.
Yeah, South Queensland, started in South Queensland, 5 years in New Zealand, the last 20 years in the South Pacific Division office in Sydney.
Do you still think you're a, well, how long, mate?
You got 1 minute, brother.
Well, thanks, he's yelling at me. Do you still feel you're a youth guy in your heart?
I love it. I love young people. My burden for young people has never gone away.
I only worked with youth for 10 years, and I still feel more comfortable with... I was at Memorial Church preaching on Sabbath, and my daughter, who is a teacher, you know, my little daughter, she's a teacher.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, she is. My oldest daughter's getting married this Friday.
Oh.
She might not like me saying that. On, but she is. She's getting married to Nick. Happy birthday. Happy marriage, Hannah.
Yes, hey, congratulations.
She brought all her friends to church from Avondale Union all around.
Fantastic.
I still felt, I don't know, you feel like this, I still felt more comfortable around the young people than I do the oldies.
I love it. I love young people, Lloyd. They've got energy, they've got passion, they love life, they're beautiful people.
They're not the future, they're now.
Time to say goodbye, wrap it up and pray.
Okay. What, no music?
There's no time for anything other than you to say goodbye, wrap it up and pray.
Do your thing.
I do my thing.
You're listening to the Aussie Pastor here on Faith FM.
How long have we got, hon?
10 seconds.
10 seconds. Thanks for joining us today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these interviews, for the inspiration. Bless our listeners, I pray, till we meet next week in the name of Jesus. Amen. My name's Lloyd Grolleman. I'm the Aussie Pastor.
My name's Hunting on the Tech, and we love you. But you know what? Jesus loves you so much more. See you next
Bye-bye.
Time.
Thanks for joining the Aussie Pastor. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to find out more about Jesus, our ministry, or ways to support us, go to aussiepastor.com.